Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, a second quarter financial review. Columbus City Council Finance Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson recently held a committee hearing to give the public a checkup on the city's financial health. Councilmember Tyson periodically holds these meetings to make sure everyone in our community is on the same page when it comes to Columbus's budget and financial footing. Here's Councilmember Tyson.
Columbus is one of the best managed cities in the entire country. We continue to be the largest city in America to receive a AAA bond rating from all three major credit agencies. We continue to streamline the operation of our government and are on track to save more than $200 million for taxpayers by 2019. We're also on track to have set aside $75 million in our rainy day fund within 5 years. We also have the greenest fleets in the country and continue to invest in smart green infrastructure. Just recently, talking about the rating agencies, Standard & Poor's said that we have a strong budget performance, we have very strong management conditions with strong financial policies, and also we have a strong economy, given it is the center of broad and diverse Columbus metropolitan statistical area, as well as stabilizing influence of the Ohio State University and the city's role as a state capital. Moody's said that we have prudent financial and debt management policies and practices that support a healthy financial position over the long term and ensure timely repayment of debt obligations despite cyclical economic challenges. They've also said the only challenge is that we have a strong dependency on our income tax revenues that cycle with economic conditions, as illustrated by income tax shortfalls in the previous years of 2008 and 2009. And if you recall, we certainly had an income tax increase of 0.5% in 2008. And so I know the income tax, as you will hear tonight, is the city's basically is the manner in which we have most of our income tax is the way that we are really funding our city. And so tonight you'll hear from Director Rakowski, who will begin the review of these finances. He will share the city's continued controls on hiring and expenditures, which allow us once again to spend significantly less than we had originally budgeted. However, I'm sure he will also remind us that we anticipate, again, significant losses in revenue by the state's elimination of the estate tax and cuts in the local government fund. And these budget realities demand our continued vigilance and careful management. And with that, Director Rakowski, thank you so much. And I want to also just commend that the comments I made by the rating agencies are certainly due to your hard work and your management of our finances at the city. So I want to say thank you and congratulations on being a major part of why we're getting that AAA bond rating. And again, I would also say that to our Auditor Dorian and, of course, my council members, but thank you personally for doing that work. And now the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Tyson, and good evening. As I always do at the quarterly hearings, I'll start off briefly explaining a little bit about the purpose of the quarterly review that we do each quarter and some of the information that's contained in that, and then I'll get more to the specifics of what we're projecting in the mid-year review versus the first quarter review. As we spoke about on previous occasions, the purpose of the review is that on a quarterly basis, the Department of Finance and Management examines the projected financial condition of the city for the remainder of the year, and we do that based upon a review of revenues and expenditures to date, and then we look at projections for spending and any changes in revenue for the rest of the year for all the departments and the offices within the city. And though we focus on the general fund, because that's really where a lot of our, it houses many of our major activities and services such as police and fire and refuse collection, our economic development activities, code enforcement. This review does include analysis of all the major operating funds and the categories for those. We have enterprise funds, and those are over in the Department of Public Utilities. That's our power and water and sanitary sewer and storm sewer utilities. We have revenue funds, such as the Street Construction Maintenance and Repair Fund, where most of the funding for that fund comes from license fees and gas tax revenues. Health and recreation and parks also, even though they do receive a general fund subsidy, a large portion of their budget is built around revenues from the charges that they have for their services. We have internal service funds, including the fund for the fleet management division that's within my department and the Department of Technology, and those funds are really seeded with revenue from charges for centralized services to other departments within the city and in certain circumstances outside entities, and as in the case of the Department of Technology that does provide some services outside of the city. And then we do have the Community Development Block Grant as well, which is has funding in multiple departments and divisions. The second quarter review is a little bit more predictive than the first quarter, but of course it's not as accurate as the third quarter review, which is really our most important review, because that carryover that's projected in that review is what we use as the base for the budget carryover for the following year's budget. So it's much more important in regard to the numbers that we have in that review, but it's also much more accurate because most of the major spending outside of personnel spending has already occurred or been encumbered by that point, and we just have a much better feel as to the trends that are going on in the current year. But this review does ensure that we're staying on budget, and if we aren't and there are problem areas, when we have a half a year to address those, we still have adequate time to make adjustments within the budget that will have an impact on that bottom line and on the carryover at the end of the year. The table that's currently up is what we call Table A. It's really it looks at the position of the general fund and some of the subfunds, important subfunds within the general fund. We continue to improve our position within the general fund. We now project that we'll expend $797 million, which is $9.1 million less than the original appropriation. It represents a $4.2 million increase from the first quarter projection. And obviously, as I'll explain a little bit later, we hope this number continues to grow in the second half of the year. And again, that is a reflection only at this point of expenditures. It does not reflect any change in revenue. Again, I would highlight the fact that the carryover of $44.5 million that you see that we entered the year on January 1, 2014, that all of that money was built in to the operating budget. And we've talked about, even though there has been a necessity to use that carryover and to have a significant carryover in order to balance the following year's budget, that relying on that as a way to balance our budgets can be dangerous. And it's a trend that we need to continue to bring that number down, and we will be doing that as we enter next year. That does represent 5.5% of the overall appropriation, which is a little higher than it was in the previous year. And again, we have projected $25 million in carryover built into the targets that we have given departments and divisions and offices for the 2015 budget, so we have more work to do because right now we're sitting at 9.2 and we have a lot of work to get to that $25 million. The couple of the important sub-funds within the general fund.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
On that? Since right now I'm in pretty much that $9.1 million that we're projecting as carryover is really due to your either not hiring of staff or keeping our costs down, expenditures down. So I guess my question is just already, if we projected to have $25 million in the budget for carryover for 2015, One, if this is basically through the year end, we've already determined that the $9.1 million is probably the maximum it's going to be in cuts and savings. Is that that's correct?
No,
right?
That's the projection at mid-year. I will guarantee you that projection will be higher at the third quarter review. Now, how much more we'll have in savings, I can't project at this time, but I will tell you that number will grow. The one piece of that number that's worrisome of the $25 million that we're projecting is the revenue piece. There's always two pieces to this. One is our savings and the amount we're going to expend less than the appropriation, and the other piece has been revenue. And I'll speak a little bit later about revenue and some of the concerns that I have. I don't have concerns. When we put that $25 million number into the target, we had an expectation for a certain level of savings, a range within the savings. I believe that we're going to be in that range. The problem is going to be the revenue piece of that, and I can speak to that when we get to the revenue section.
So, I'm just, because this is the projected available balance for December 31, so the $9 million is not that's not really the projected that you're seeing by December 31.
It changes as we get further into the year, and the trend has always been that we tend to save more each quarter, and we need to keep that trend going. But again, it's a two pieces to this, and the revenue is the other piece.
Okay. Okay, so hopefully it would be at least double that, so it should be $18 million. I mean, maybe, so we'll see. But okay, we'll just, that's $25 million is a significant number for us to be able to carry over.
And you can see that we're whittling that down because we entered the year with almost $44.5 million, and we don't have that type of expectation going into next year.
Which is great because you just did say that this was 5% and your goal is to continue to bring that number down year by year. So that's great. Okay, I'll let you finish.
And then the other sub funds, just quickly, the Economic Stabilization Fund is obviously our rainy day fund. We project that we'll be at approximately $64 million by the end of the year. That deposit has already been made, this year's deposit. So the only thing that would change would be any of the estimated earnings on investment earnings on those funds. That puts us obviously way ahead of the $75 million commitment that we made to be, by end of 2018. So we have plenty of time to get to our commitment, and I'm confident that we will meet our commitment, but we are way ahead. Anticipated expenditure fund is our 27th pay period fund. There's an anomaly in the pay calendar that every so many years we have to have an additional pay that we have to encumber even if it isn't paid out in that year. So we build towards that responsibly and don't try to deal with that in the year that it occurs. We build up each year leading up to it, and that's what that fund represents. I think it's 2020 is the next payout, but I think it's the 2018 or 19 when we'll encumber that just on the way that this works. The Basic City Services Fund, if you remember, when we knew that the cuts were coming from the state, we seeded that fund in 2012 with $11 million working with City Council. That original $11 million has been used up. We did have a workers' comp rebate. There was a rebate that occurred last year, and council was wise enough to put that into the fund. That's what that balance of 5.7 represents. And again, I would point out that will be, it's included in the 2015 target. So unless something else would happen where we would be able to put some money into that basic neighborhood city services fund, it will be exhausted in the 2015 budget. The next chart deals with general fund revenue and a comparison from the previous year to this year. And really the purpose of this, it is just simply to illustrate two things, and you brought this up and it's been noted by the rating agencies. Number one is just how much now we have come to rely on the income tax. and how important it is to grow the base of the income tax and grow that revenue. It's really each year now with the cuts that we experienced at the state level and the fact that other sources of revenue are smaller sources of revenue and they've been very flat. Some of those have actually declined. That we just have a heavier and heavier reliance on the income tax. The second, again, is what I just mentioned and is the flat or declining nature of all the other sources of revenue. So that's really the importance of that table. And I think everyone that's watching can see that there's the first set of bars that are dominate that chart, and then everything else is really very small compared to that and fairly insignificant, though we'll take any bit of revenue into the general fund that we can. As I mentioned earlier as well, the auditor has not revised the current revenue estimate, although he's given us some indication in the tax budget, because that's really our first kind of preliminary estimate for both this year and next year as to where we may be heading at the end of the year. He has not changed that. We, as of the end of the second quarter, the income tax was at 3.9%. That's 0.9% above the current estimate of 3%. And obviously, that's what the budget was based on. There are minor variations in other revenue sources, but those are unlikely to have any significant impact on the overall revenue picture at year end. And I will say that although the auditor in his tax budget raised his estimate for the income tax, there were other adjustments that were made down in some other categories of revenue that tended to equalize that out. Now, obviously, we'll have other shots at working with the auditor, which we do work very closely with the auditor as we progress towards the end of the year and put our revenue estimate together for 2015. But the fact that we are not beyond 0.9% above the current estimate is troubling, because the income tax needs to come in above 4% to try and help us reach that $25 million carryover number. The expenditure table and slide shows you that we are 9.1, as I mentioned earlier, projecting to spend 9.1 million below the current appropriation. We are in a positive position on expenditures as of the end of the second quarter, and again, which is good news, and it's the same news from the first quarter. There really are no significant deficits anywhere in the general fund, in any of our departments, divisions, or offices, including in our largest department, safety. Safety, and I'll work across this chart, but safety expenditures, as I just mentioned, are tracking below budget. Currently, fuel cost projections are within budget, which is another big spending center that we have. Our controls on hiring and our ongoing reform efforts continue to produce results. Vacancies and other personnel savings are projected at $3.3 million. And then, of course, we continue to update our progress in regard to the reforms. And we currently are projecting nearly $260 million in savings from those reform efforts through 2019.
Share some for our viewing and listening audience some of those reforms.
The largest piece of that is the pension reforms that we have engaged in and continue to work and negotiate with our unions, and those really deal with the reduction in the city's portion of the pickup. We used to pick up the entire employee share of the pensions. We have now begun, not only for new employees don't receive the pickup, but current employees are also, each year we tend to go down 1% in that in regard to the pickup. We are also increasing the insurance contribution, the employee piece of the insurance contribution, as well as making other changes in our insurance program that save money. Fleet, we have greened our fleet. The CNG effort is going to produce savings because it's a lot cheaper to use compressed natural gas than it is to use diesel and unleaded. So we continue those reforms. We have made reforms in fleet in regard to the work we do in-house versus work that we contract out, and there's savings associated with that. The fact that council has been supportive of the mayor's push to update the city's fleet overall, including our large pieces of equipment that burn a lot of fuel, that has lowered our need for parts and maintenance services on those pieces of equipment. And then we do have some partnerships that we have. One that we've talked about before is the fact that Metro Parks maintains a lot of our trails within the system, and that has saved us money as well. So those are some of the larger areas where we've had some reforms that are producing savings. But clearly the benefit side of it, the pension and the health care side of it, and bringing that more into line with what would be in the private sector has saved us significant amounts of money.
Thank you, Director. I wanted you to share that because I know that was one of the commitments we made to our residents when we asked for the income tax increase. And just wanted to, one, have you identify the many reforms that have taken place and to begin to reduce our costs. So thank you for sharing that information.
And we continue to negotiate. We have all of our contracts but one up this year, and I'm positive. I want to see positive results out of our negotiations because our partners out in the unions have been willing and have worked with us in negotiating those changes. As we look at the chart, the elected officials, including City Council, which I want to point out, City Council, those are largely personnel savings and savings from unfilled vacancies that have occurred during the course of the year. When we look at public safety, really in police, it's civilian wages, insurance, supplies and services. And in regard to fire, it's uniformed wages. We've had significant retirements this year in fire, really above our projection. And although that can tend to hit us on overtime, we're within the overtime budget for fire. The positive is that it does produce savings in regard to wages for firefighters, since we projected a certain number and we're a little below that. Worked holiday pay in fire, and then insurance and civilian wages are also below appropriation levels. And then, as it is normally the case in the safety director and as it was in the first quarter, the jail contract, our cost for reimbursing the county for nights spent in the county jail is running below the appropriation in the budget. In regard to public service, again, it's largely personnel savings in the refuse division and the traffic division. There is a lot of turnover in regard to refuse collection due to the nature of the job. And there are some internal billing charges in regard to refuse that are likely tied to fleet and fuel expenditures. In regard to my own department, finance and management, a large chunk of that, $1.2 million, is utility savings within the facilities management division. There's additional savings in the citywide technology billings. Our department houses the funds to pay for citywide technology billings, but these are largely associated with the transition of PoliceNet going from the police division and being in those duties and being absorbed within the technology department. And there are some vacancies that when they first took that over, it was unclear how many positions they were going to need. They're still doing a process of evaluation there, so there are savings in regard to the vacancies that have not been hired. And then there also is some savings in the public defender contract within my director's office. And as we all know, that varies from year to year. And then at the end of the year, there's always a true up where we can either receive some savings or we end up, we've been in cases before where we had to add to that contract. But right now we see some savings in that contract. And then development is really, again, delays in filling vacancies associated with the code enforcement expansion because of lists having to be developed and hirings needed to occur in that regard. The next chart really just shows the categories of savings, and really it's dominated by those vacancy savings and personnel savings that we talked about, as well as some of the services that we talked about, which the jail contract, the utilities savings, and the public defender, all of those would fall within that category. The last table just really shows you a positive trend here, which is that all of our uniformed overtime is within budget. And I think we'll see some, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that in the third quarter we see some savings there. The uniformed or the police civilian is within. Police uniformed is a little bit over, but that really is dealing with the summer initiative, and there is some offset in their what we call character 10 for that, and I think that'll all get into line, but I'd like to see some savings here over the course of the second half of the year. But we've had such trouble with, you know, the stress of the 311 and the ComTech 911 job that we usually see some deficits there in regard to civilian overtime, and we're not seeing those, which I think is, we kind of ramped up that hiring to help them out a little bit to provide a larger pool, and I think that's helped in regard to keeping those costs under control. And obviously, as I stated earlier, in conclusion, we continue to build toward that 2015 budget number and that carryover number. As I said, it's a $25 million number to meet that target. And that is both, again, savings and revenues both need to increase. And we've been lucky over the last few years in the fact that our income tax has largely overperformed based on the auditor's estimate. And that's a good thing, because the auditor, as well as myself, are really very conservative in regard to what projection we start the year with. But I'm hoping to see an upward trend in the second half of the year in regard to revenue. I think we'll hit a savings number that'll be significantly larger than what was in the mid-year report. But as the year progresses in regard to revenue, the less time that we have to make that gap up, the more difficult it becomes. It's a lot easier when we're at 4.5 at the beginning of the year than it is even if we were to start inching above 4 in the second half of the year. So we'll keep monitoring that trend, but the auditor is responsible for the revenue projection, so I'll be working very closely with him to see if we can't get that a little higher by the end of the year.
Thank you. And I'm hopefully we definitely will get that number up a little higher, because that is important, because if not, if we're projecting $25 million to carry over for next year and that doesn't happen, that means that we have to go back and look at our budgets and make those adjustments, which we certainly don't want to do, but we know that that were the case, that's something that we have to do.
And I can assure you that when we produce a budget for City Council on the 15th of November, I think it's this year, it's the 14th because of the way that the days, the day of the week, but you will have a balanced budget at that point in time, regardless of what the carryover is.
Thank you. Just another question regarding a lot of our savings have certainly been, are due to, as you mentioned, kind of unfilled positions or vacancy positions. And so looking at the report, what are we positions that we're projected to hire between, well, I guess from the end of the second quarter until now, based upon those hires, which I know all hires are approved through your department, that's what that number is still based on, that $9 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. When we review all the submissions that come back from the departments in regard to their hiring program, we do make adjustments to that based on what we believe is reality. But then, as you know, based on the memo that the mayor put out, we are in a virtual hiring freeze right now, except in very limited instances. So I respect my colleagues' desire to fill vacancies, and they'll put those in the quarterly, but not all of those vacancies are going to be filled.
We're out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthroll@columbus.gov. Don't forget you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.